إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is going to be our first session, an introduction to the book dealing with the subject of At-Tawakkul by the Shaykh Al-Allama Salih Ibn Fawzan Ibn Abdullah Ali Fawzan. May Allah protect and preserve him. Tonight, inshallah, in this introductory session, we're going to, number one, look at a brief summary of a biography of the author. May Allah protect and preserve him. And then we're going to read his introductory comments to this particular topic. The introductory comments are relatively brief. There'll be some commentary on some of the points that he made, some additional hadith, and perhaps some explanations from some other scholars dealing with the topics that he presents in the introduction. In the following week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to talk about the definition of a tawakkul, yani as it came in this book, and then go into yani the core of the topic as the Shaykh presents it, and concluding very importantly with a section where he deals with the fruits of At-Tawakkul, the fruits, the benefits of At-Tawakkul. So we're going to start first with the summary biography of the author, and then we're going to read actually from the core of the book, starting in English translation on page 13 through 18. And if there's a biography of the author in the beginning of the book, we're not going to read it from the book. We just want to summarize what's there. You can go back and look at it later. But the topic that we're going to be reading tonight is from pages 13 through 18. In Arabic, it's from page 265 and 266. Okay, so as far as the author's biography, he is, yani with his title, we want to give him the title that he is deserving of, a Shaykh Al-Allama, Salih Ibn Fawzan Ibn Abdullah Al-Falzan. Al-Falzan means yani the family of Fawzan. Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him. So his first name is Salih, and he is the son of Fawzan, who is the son of Abdullah, yani from the family of Fawzan. He was born in the year 1354 of the Hijra, which is corresponding to 1933. So from this we can tell that the Shaykh is up in age, right? That would make him what now?
98.
Okay, that's, we can say 98. Huh? 88. Yeah. So, I mean, actually, if you were to hear the Shaykh speak, you wouldn't imagine that he's 88 years old. He's still, mashallah, strong and vigorous, and very, very firm upon the sunnah, and yani a seriousness that is really kind of unique. When you, if you meet him, or if you even just hear him, you can tell the seriousness of the Shaykh. He was born in the city of Shamasiyah, in the region of Qasim, in Saudi Arabia. In terms of his education, briefly, he learned the Qur'an and the basics of reading and writing from the imam at the masjid in his town, yani the local imam. He learned the Qur'an and the basics of reading and writing before he went to a regular school. He later studied in the state school when it opened in Shamasiyah in the year 1369, which corresponds to 1948. And I imagine 1948 is probably before anybody here was born. Now, He completed his studies in Faisaliyah School in Bureida in the year 1371, corresponding to 1950, the year in which I was born. And he joined the Educational Institute, Al-Mahad Al-Ilmi, which is a very important school in Saudi Arabia, or at least it used to be. Yani a very, very yani important, beneficial school where they learned academics of math and science. And they also yani concentrated on Islamic studies, on memorizing the Quran and Hadith and Aqidah. Very, very important school system in Saudi Arabia that everybody wasn't entitled to attend. He joined that school, yani the Educational Institute in Bureida, when it opened in the year 1373, corresponding to 1952, and he graduated in the year 1377, corresponding to 1956. He joined the Faculty of Sharia, yani the Kulliyat al-Sharia, at the Islamic University of Imam Muhammad ibn Saud in Riyadh, and he graduated in the year 1381, that is, corresponding to the year 1960. Thereafter, he gained both his master's degree and his doctor's degree in fiqh, yani from the Faculty of Sharia, yani specializing in fiqh. And even though the Shaykh, he specialized in fiqh, actually, yani perhaps he is really, really well known and strong, yani for his teaching and spreading of the yani Islamic aqidah, yani that is in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From amongst his many teachers, the most important of them is Al-Imam Abdul Aziz ibn Abdul ibn Baz rahimahullah, and the noble Shaykh Abdullah ibn Humayd rahimahullah, the Imam of the people of Tafsir, Al-Imam Muhammad Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti rahimahullah, and the noble Shaykh Abdul Razak Afifi rahimahullah, and the noble Shaykh Muhammad ibn Subayl rahimahullah. These are some of his teachers who are well known, established, distinguished scholars. In terms of his career, the summary of it, in terms of his teaching positions, he taught at the Educational Institute in Riyadh, yani the Mahad Ilmi, and he also later taught in the Faculty of Sharia, the Kulliyah of Sharia, and the Department of Higher Studies in the Faculty of Usuluddin, both in the Islamic University of Imam Muhammad bin Saud. He is a member of the Permanent Committee of Islamic Research and Fatawa, yani Al-Lajna Al-Da'ima, and he is also a member of the Council of Senior Scholars, Kibar al-Ulama, and a member of the Fiqh Committee of Mecca and the Committee for Supervision of Du'at, yani those who call to Islam during the Hajj time. His books are too many to mention. We only listed some of his books that are translated into English. Yani these are just a few of his books that are translated into English. He has lots more books translated into English than what we mentioned here. As far as books in Arabic, they're unending. I mean, the Shaykh, mashallah, has written so many books, it's almost unbelievable. From amongst the books that I selected from the many books that I saw translated into English is his explanations of the books of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. The first of them being The Things Which Nullify One's Islam, yani the Nawaqid of Islam. The second of them, The Six Principles, Al-Usul al-Sitta, which is really a tremendous book. A brief book, yani with yani the Shaykh's explanation of tremendous benefit. The third of them, the explanation of Al-Usul Al-Arba'ah, the four principles. And the next one, Al-Usul Al-Thalatha, or Thalathatul Usul, yani the three fundamental principles. All of these books are books of Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab. Also, of great importance is his explanation of the famous, well-respected and read book Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah. And there are many, many scholars of the past and the present who have written explanations or commentaries on this very, very important book. And beside it is his explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyyah by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, which I think may have recently been translated. I just saw it myself, yani just during this week. And it's a good explanation, not extremely lengthy, but yani not short as well. I think it's probably about 300 or 400 pages. his explanation of Aqidah al-Wasitiyah by Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah. From amongst his own books that he authored himself, and one of the most famous of them is the Jurisprudence Summary, Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi, and I'm not sure if that's actually the English title. The Arabic title is Al-Mulakhas Al-Fiqhi. I think it's in English translated as Jurisprudence Summary. From amongst his smaller books, Issues Pertaining to Iman, which is a book that everybody should read. And whoever wants to know about Iman, even after we just get finished spending 9 months studying the Shajarat al-Iman, this is a book that you will benefit from. Fundamental Beliefs of a Muslim. Especially for a new Muslim, but even for those who are not new, very, very beneficial. Fundamental Beliefs of a Muslim. Beneficial Answers to Questions on Innovated Methodologies. There are a series of questions that the Shaykh was asked concerning the methodologies of different groups of people who are not upon the Sunnah, and those answers are extremely beneficial. Essential Questions and Answers on the Salafi Methodology, which also, a series of questions that the Shaykh was asked, and tremendous clarifications, especially in this day and time, and when lots of people are waving a flag, identifying with the manhaj of the Salaf, who are sometimes far removed from it in reality. And the Shaykh has clarified a lot of issues in this particular book that are of benefit to anybody who wants to be clear. And the last book that we mentioned is a small book, Salafiyah, Its Reality and Characteristics, which I have read several times, and every time I've read it, mashallah, I found it tremendous. Also with a lot of clarification concerning issues that people are disputing about and arguing about, making fitna about. And the Shaykh has made a beautiful clarification in a small book, which I can't remember exactly the number of pages now, but it's a small book, maybe 40 pages, something like that. Easy read. These are some of the books that are translated, and there are many more books of his that have been translated into English, which is a reflection of how people in the English world have received his books, that there's no end to his books being translated into English. Finally, his occupation, he is presently the Imam, the Khatib, who gives the khutbah on Jumu'ah, and a teacher at the Amir Mutib ibn Abdulaziz Masjid in Al-Mazar, where he continues to teach the Muslims, and we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve him and grant him a long life with good health, iman, and righteous actions. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. So this is the summary, and there's a little bit more information given in the translation of the book than what we have summarized here. And then there are lengthy biographies of the Shaykh Hafidhullah that others have provided that you can find in some of the other books that have been translated into English. Okay, we want to actually begin tonight right into the introductory comments of the Shaykh as he begins this topic. And as I mentioned, in the English translation, it begins on page 13. And in the Arabic, we're reading from a series of writings of the author. It's a collection of writings of the author. And this particular topic is on page 265 in the Arabic series that we took it from. So it begins with the name of Allah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and the Shaykh begins by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking for salat and salam on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with these words, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And the praise belongs to Allah, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulihi, Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And may the salat of Allah and salam be upon his Abd, the worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, our Prophet Muhammad, and upon his family and his companions, all of them. وَمَنْ اتَّدَى بِهُدَاهُ وَسَارَ عَلَى نَهْجِهِ وَتَمَسَّكَ بِسُنَّتِهِ إِلَى يَوْمُ الدِّينِ. And likewise, these prayers are for everyone who followed his guidance. Everyone who followed the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and traveled upon his way, his path, and who strictly adhered to his sunnah until the day of judgment. Meaning everybody who follows this path, who adheres to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, all of those people, including the people of today and the people who will come after us until the time of judgment. After this, the Shaykh, he says, wa ba'd, fa inna at-tawakkul min a'zam anwa' al-ibadah. Indeed, at-tawakkul, And in English, tawakkul is normally translated as dependence or reliance or trusting in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that a person puts their trust in Allah alone, that they rely upon Allah for every need, that they depend upon Allah in every situation. And the meaning of tawakkul also includes other things, including but not limited to having athiqa billahi, yani being, yani having faith and confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when you trust in Him that He's gonna He's gonna take care of you. It also includes, very, very importantly, and perhaps we're gonna allude to it in another statement if we have time tonight, it also includes al-isti'ana, that a person should seek help from Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah 2 Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, that you alone we worship and you alone we seek help from. And this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a clear indication to us that whoever has sincere intention to worship Allah alone must know that they cannot do it without help from Allah. So whoever wants to have dependence upon Allah, they must also seek help from Allah. And it's narrated in an athar of, I think, Jubair or Sa'id ibn Jubair rahimahullah, that he said, Allahumma inni as'aluka siddq at-tawakkul alayk wa husna al-dhan bik. Yani, O Allah, I ask you for siddq, sincerity in my tawakkul alayk. Yani, that I be sincere in it. Not that a person claims to rely upon Allah, but asking Allah, asking Allah to help you, to support you in actually being sincere in that tawakkul. Because the person will not be able to do that without help from Allah. So this is also an important idea that should be included in the tawakkul, that is isti'ana, seeking help, assistance, aid, support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this tawakkul or in everything that we do, whether in worldly matters or in our worship of Allah, every aspect of life, the tawakkul requires assistance from Allah. And some of the scholars said that also included in the tawakkul or necessary aspect of tawakkul is ar-ridha, that a person be pleased with the result of their tawakkul on Allah. Yani that they be pleased. When you put your trust in Allah and you depend upon Allah to achieve any good or to prevent any harm, that whatever Allah decides by His decree and based on His wisdom, that a person be pleased with it. So these ideas, yani of i'timad, yani relying upon Allah, yani, and also al-isti'ana, asking Allah's help, and al-ridha, being pleased with what Allah has decreed in the matter. And we will see, yani, from some of the hadith that we'll mention tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, the relationship between al-tawakkul and al-iman bil-qadr. Yani, al-iman bil-qadr requires that a person believe in four main things, that is, al-ilm wal-kitaba, yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has knowledge of everything, and that it is all written, and additionally, al-mashi'ah and al-khalq, that we believe that everything is by the will of Allah, and that everything that exists, Allah created it. The human beings, the actions of the human beings, the characteristics and qualities of the human beings, and everything that's in creation. Allah is the only creator of everything that exists. These are the four aspects of al-qadr, al-iman bil-qadr wal-qadha, and yani we will see that there's a relationship between a person knowing that everything is in the hands of Allah, that He has power over everything, and that nothing happens unless He wills it. Whatever He wills will be, and whatever He doesn't will not be. Yani the relationship between this and al-tawakkul, putting your trust in Allah, depending upon Allah and relying upon Allah. So after this opening, the Shaykh, he mentions this statement, very important statement, فَإِنَّ التَّوَكُّلْ مِنْ أَعْظَمْ أَنْوَاعِ الْعِبَادَةِ, that indeed at tawakkul, this reliance upon Allah, is from amongst the greatest types of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from amongst the greatest aspects of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul. And this alone, as we will see, is sufficient reason for a person to want to know yani everything that is possible about a tawakkul. Yani why we need to know a tawakkul and why we need to strive in our lives every day to manifest a tawakkul in real life. It's from the greatest types of ibadah. قَالَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا. Yani, so upon Allah, put your trust. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. If indeed you are true believers. Yani, if you really have iman, then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Shaykh comments on this. This is from Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 23rd Ayat. He says, فَجَعَلَ شَرْطَ الْإِيمَانِ التَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the shart, the condition of the validity of iman, it is that a person has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they depend upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a condition of the validity of a person's iman. And we'll see from the comments of the Shaykh and from other scholars and from some of the ayats that he mentions here, that indeed one's iman would not be valid. It would not be complete without yani this tawakkul. To some extent, even if a person doesn't have perfect tawakkul, but if a person has no tawakkul ala Allah, then they have no iman. There's no tawheed without a tawakkul. So the Shaykh, he says that this ayat, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, then make your trust to be upon Allah, if indeed you are believers. He said this, in this ayat Allah has made that التوكل على الله is a condition for the validity of iman. I want to just comment briefly on this particular ayat from what the Shaykh says in another place, yani in his lessons explaining Kitab al-Tawheed, the chapter of التوكل. And the Shaykh, he says concerning this particular ayat, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. He said that here in this ayat, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ, this is an indication of al-hasr. Yani that this word, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا, تَقْدِيم الْمَعَمُولُ يُفِيدُ الْحَصَرُ. Yani that the fact that the mention of putting your trust in Allah, عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلُوا, instead of تَوَكَّلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ, but عَلَى اللَّهِ تَوَكَّلُوا, yani this is an indication of al-hasr. That is, that this tawakkul is exclusively for Allah alone. It's limited and restricted to Allah alone. Yani it's similar to what we have in Al-Fatiha, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Yani mentioning the one who is being worshipped before the act, it's the action. Instead of saying, نَعْبُدُكَ, we worship you, rather we say, you, we worship. This is a form of hasr, which means that it does, it's not the same as saying we worship you. It means we worship you and we worship you alone and no one else along with you. And he said that this is because a tawakkul is a type of ibadah, and every type of ibadah yani belongs to Allah alone. Here I want to mention from a book that has been recently, not published, but recently collected. A book of 40 hadith dealing with tawakkul. Has not yet been published, but we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to facilitate its publication for the tremendous benefit that is found in it. From that book, yani the second hadith that's mentioned in that book is under the chapter, الثقة بالله وصحة الاعتماد عليه والعلم بأن الأمر كله بيده من أصول الإيمان. Yani that from the foundations, from the fundamentals of iman, is الثقة بالله, that a person has confidence, complete confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وصحة الاعتماد عليه, and the correctness or the validity of depending upon Allah. والعلم بأن الأمر كله بيده, and the knowledge that the affair, that every affair, all of it is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that every affair is controlled by Allah and Allah alone. This belief, yani, is from the fundamentals of iman. The hadith, yani, is a lengthy hadith, yani, which talks about two people who were in living, yani, in the time of, after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when many of the companions were still living, and the idea, the false belief of the Qadariyah came into existence. And they were in the place where this idea came into existence. They went to make Hajj or Umrah. And while they were there, they looked, they hoped to meet one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ to ask about this idea of the Qadariyah, the people who believe that, yani, there's no, that Allah doesn't know that what the people are going to do, that it's not pre-decreed and known by Allah before the people act. This idea came into existence, so they came, yani, looking to find one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, and Allah blessed them with the meeting with Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu entering the masjid. So they surrounded him, one of them on his right side and one of them on his left side. And the narrator of the hadith, he says, I thought that my companion would allow me to be the one to speak, so I began to address him. And I said, إِنَّهُ قَدْ ظَهَرَ قِبَلَنَا نَاسٌ يَقْرَعُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَيَتَكَفَّرُونَ الْعِلْمَ وَذَكَرَ مِنْ شَعْنِهِمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ يَزْعَمُونَ أَنَّ لَا قَدْرَ وَأَنَّ الْأَمْرَ عُنُفٌ. Yani, that there appeared amongst us some people, yani, who were coming, who claimed, who came up with this idea, this claim, that, yani, they disbelieved in Al-Qadr. And they said that the affair is unuf, meaning that Allah hasn't pre-decreed what the people do. He didn't write it in advance. He didn't bring it into existence. But rather, people are on their own doing whatever they want to do. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that if you meet these people, yani, he's talking to these two men, he's saying that if you meet these people when you go back to your place, فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنِّي بَرِيٌ مِّنْهُمْ وَأَنَّهُمْ بُرَعَى مِّنِّي. Inform them that I am free of them, I have nothing to do with them, and they have nothing to do with me. وَالَّذِي يَحْلِفُ بِهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ ابْنِ عُمَرَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. And inform them that that which Abdullah ibn Umar swears by, لَوْ أَنَّ لِأَحَدِهِمْ مِثْلَ أُحُدْ ذَهَبًا فَأَنْفَقَهُ مَا قُبِلَ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنْ بِالْقَدْرِ. And he said that Abdullah ibn Umar swears by the fact that if any one of them had that which is equal or like the mountain of Uhud in gold, and they spent it, Allah would not accept it from them until they believe in the Qadr. Yani, the seriousness of Iman bil Qadr is such that whatever a person offered of good, even if it was charity in gold equal to the mountain of Uhud. And if anybody has been to Medina and they've seen the mountain of Uhud, how big is the mountain of Uhud? Yani, you can stand at the mountain of Uhud and look at it and not see the end of it. And Abdul ibn Umar said that I swear that if a person had gold equal to the mountain of Uhud and they spend it in the way of Allah, Allah would not accept it from them unless and until they believed in Al-Qadr. And then he said, يعني حدثني أبي, my father narrated to me, meaning his father Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, that while they were sitting in the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day a man came to them who was wearing clothing that was extremely white and whose hair was extremely black, and we didn't see any signs of travel upon him, meaning he didn't look like he was a traveler, yet none of us knew him. And nobody sitting there from amongst the companions of the Prophet knew him, yet he didn't have the signs of a traveler, somebody who came from someplace else. And he sat with the Prophet ﷺ, and he began to question the Prophet ﷺ, saying, أخبرني عن الإسلام, أخبرني عن الإيمان, أخبرني عن الإحسان. Tell me about, yani, what is Islam, what is Iman, what is Ihsan, about the hour of judgment and so on. Concerning Iman, when he asked him to inform me about Iman, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. Yani, that Iman is that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books, yani, the revelations and His messengers, and the last day, and that you believe in the Qadr is good and it's evil. And note, as some of the scholars said, that the Prophet ﷺ in this statement, he began by saying that you believe in Allah and His angels and His books and the judgment day. But when he mentioned Qadr, he repeated the word, and tu'mina bil Qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi. Yani, showing the importance of believing in Qadr. There was no need to say to believe in Allah and His angels and to repeat to believe again at the end of it, to believe in Al-Qadr, except to show the importance of the iman, having iman in the good and the evil of what Allah has decreed. And this hadith is a well-known hadith. The point, yani, that I wanted to note here is the importance of belief in the divine decree, al-qadr. The second hadith that I want to mention before we go back to the text of the book is in this collection of 40 hadith concerning at-tawakkul. And it's under, it's the fourth hadith in the book. It's under the title أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَصْلُ وَهَذِهِ التَّفَاصِيلُ هُوَ مَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ أَصْحَابُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Yani this chapter is entitled that this asl, this foundation, yani iman in al-qadr, and the details of it, as expressed in this narration, is what the companions of the Prophet ﷺ were upon. This is what they believed in. This is how they understood it. And here it is mentioned that a man, the narrator of this report, Ibn al-Daylami, he says, وَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِي شَيْءٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الْقَدْرِ. وَقَعَ فِي نَفْسِي شَيْءٌ, yani that something occurred to me in my heart, in myself, concerning al-qadr. Some doubt or some confusion or some problem concerning qadr. وَخَشِيتُ أَن يُفْسِدَ عَلَيَّ دِينِي وَأَمْرِي. And I feared that this which occurred to me, this thought or this doubt or this question that came to my mind, I feared that it would destroy, that it would corrupt my deen and my affair. So I came to Ubay ibn Ka'b and I said to him, Ya Aba Munzir, إِنَّهُ قَدْ وَقَعَ فِي قَلْبِي شَيْءٌ مِّنْ هَذَا الْقَدْرِ. Yani that something has occurred in my heart, some doubt or some matter has occurred to me, yani, and I feared that it would corrupt my deen and my affair. فَحَدِّثْنِي مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يَنْفَعَنِي بِهِ. So narrate to me, yani something from the Prophet ﷺ, that perhaps Allah will make it to benefit me, yani to cure this sickness, to remove this from me, yani that thing which I fear would corrupt my deen and my yani affairs. So yani Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu, one of the great companions of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, yani narrating from the Prophet ﷺ, لو أن الله عذب أهل سماواته وأهل أرضه لعذبهم وهو غير ظالم لهم. That if Allah had punished everyone who was in the heavens and the earth, then He would have punished them without having been unjust to them. And He would have punished them justly. If Allah punished everyone in the heavens and the earth, He would have punished them and He would not have been unjust to them. وَلَوْ رَحِمَهُمْ لَكَانَتْ رَحْمَتُهُ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ مِنْ أَعْمَالِهِمْ. And if He were to grant them mercy, then His mercy would have been better for them than their deeds, than whatever of good they have done. His mercy would have been better and more beneficial for them than whatever good deeds that they have done. وَلَوْ كَانَ لَكَ مِثْلُ جَبَلْ أُحُدْ ذَهَبًا أَوْ مِثْلُ جَبَلْ أُحُدْ تُنْفِقُهُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا قُبِلَ مِنْكَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنَ بِالْقَدْرِ. And if you had the like of the mountain of Uhud and gold, or if you had the like of the mountain of Uhud and gold and to spend it in the way of Allah, it would not have been accepted from you. This great charity would have not been accepted from you until you believe in Al-Qadr. And this narration is also a proof of what? The great importance of Al-Qadr. And we will see, yani, that this Qadr and what is required of it, knowing that everything is under the control of Allah, that nothing happens except what Allah wills. Whatever Allah wills will happen, and whatever He doesn't will never happen. Understanding this, realizing this, accepting this, yani, is a part of what is necessary for a person to completely put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rely upon Allah and to depend upon Allah, knowing that the whole of the affair is with Allah. And nobody has any control over anything. Nobody can benefit. Nobody can harm. Nobody can give life. Nobody can cause death, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, yani, that if you had spent this in gold, yani the equal to the mountain of Uhud, in the way of Allah, it would not have been accepted from you until you believed in the qadr. So he said, know that مَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْتِيَكَ. Yani that whatever have befallen you was not to pass you, and whatever passed you by was not to befall you, to afflict you. وَأَنَّكَ إِنْ مُتَّ عَلَى غَيْرَ هَذَا دَخَلْتَ النَّارِ. And if you were to die on other than this belief in Al-Qadr, that nothing that afflicted you or befell you could have passed you by. And nothing that passed you by, whether good or bad, yani nothing that passed you by could have afflicted you, because it's all the qadr of Allah. Allah is the one who has decreed it, and He is the one who has executed that decree. Allah decreed it before the creation of the heavens and earth, and then He executed in the time that He decided it to occur. He said, if you had died on other than this, then you would have entered the hellfire. And you would have died upon kufr. And then He said, there's no harm. Yani, there's no blame on you. If you were to go to my brother Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and ask him about this same matter. Yani, Ubay ibn Ka'b said, if you had went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and asked him, yani, nobody would fault you. Go and ask him about this matter. So that what? So that you can be certain, so that you can be sure. He said, so I went to Abdullah, yani ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, and I asked him, and he mentioned the like of what Ubay ibn Ka'b radiallahu anhu had already said to me. And then he, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, said, yani, there's no blame upon you. If you were to go to Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman radiallahu anhu and ask him, yani, the same thing. So I went to Hudhayfa and I asked him, and he said the like of what the two of them previously had said. Yani, the same belief. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ, all of them held this belief. And then he said, Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said, go to Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu and ask him as well. And all of these companions, yani, every single one of them are major companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Learned, important companions of the Prophet, close companions of the Prophet ﷺ. Not the person who was a Sahabi because he met the Prophet ﷺ in his lifetime and believed in him when he met him and died upon Islam. Every person who met the Prophet ﷺ in his lifetime believing in him and died upon Islam is Sahabi. But these were people who were close to the Prophet ﷺ, learned companions of the Prophet ﷺ. So he said, he went to Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, and he asked him, and he said to him, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ, I heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, لَوْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَذَّبَ أَهْلَ سَمَاوَاتِهِ وَأَهْلَ أَرْضِهِ لَعَذَّبَهُمْ وَهُوَ غَيْرُ ظَالِمٍ لَهُمْ. That if Allah, indeed, if Allah had punished everyone who was in the heavens and the earth, then He would have punished them without having been unjust to them. And if He had granted them His mercy, then His mercy would have been better for them than their deeds. وَلَوْ كَانَ لَكَ مِثْلُ أُحُدْ ذَهَبًا, and if you had the like of gold equal to Uhud, or if you had that which is equal to Uhud in gold and you spend it in the way of Allah, it would never have been accepted from you until you believe in Al-Qadr, in the whole of Al-Qadr. So know that whatever yani has befallen you, it was not to miss you, and whatever passed you by was not to befall you. وَأَنَّكَ إِن مُتَّ عَلَى غَيْرَ هَذَا دَخَلْتَ now. Yani, and the Prophet ﷺ closed by saying that if you had died on other than this, you would have entered the hellfire. These two hadith, yani, make clear to us the importance of al-iman in al-qadr. And we will see that this iman in al-qadr, yani, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah knew everything before it happened, and He had it recorded, written in al-lawh al-mahfuz, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused it to happen in accordance with His will. Yani, what He willed, He brought it into creation. Yani, how this knowledge, knowing this, yani, is the foundation upon which a person can have real tawakkul ala Allah. Knowing that, the whole of the affair is in the hands of Allah, and that nothing will happen except what Allah wills, what He decreed. After mentioning this first ayat, yani, so put your trust in Allah if indeed you are believers. Yani, if indeed you have iman in Allah, and in the angels, and in the books, and in the judgment day, and in the divine decree. If indeed a person has iman, then yani, put your trust in Allah. Then put your trust in Allah. This indicates that having trust in Allah is a condition, a shart for the validity of iman. After this, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, Allah ihfadhu, may Allah protect and preserve him, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Yani, if you have decided, made firm resolve to do something, you have made a decision to do something, then once you have made that firm resolve, then put your trust in Allah. Yani, a person is thinking about doing something, and after thinking and thinking and thinking over it, and maybe making istikhara, and they decided to go forward with it, then put your trust in Allah. Depend upon Allah. Rely upon Allah. Have confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And even though we know that part of true tawakkul ala Allah is also utilizing the means to achieve the goal, to repulse some harm or to achieve some good, it requires utilizing what Allah has legislated. Yani, to achieve those means, but the key is to utilize the means, but put your trust in Allah. Yani, that those means will only bring about the desired objective if Allah makes it so. Yani, even though fire is created by nature to burn, it can't burn unless Allah allows it to. And that means that everything that harms can only harm if Allah allows it. And everything that benefits will only benefit if Allah allows it. So the whole of the affair is with Allah, and that's why a person, yani, has to have full trust and confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and depend upon Him alone. And this is, yani, a sign of the validity of a person's iman and their tawheed. The Shaykh says, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to His Prophet, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. So if you have determined a matter, you have decided in a matter, then put your trust in Allah. Indeed, Allah loves those who, yani, put their trust in Him. And this is from Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 159th Ayah. And the Shaykh, yani, Shaykh Salih Fawzan, Hafidhullah, he says concerning this ayat, فَأَمَرَ نَبِيَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. In this ayat, Allah has commanded His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to put his trust in Allah. He has commanded him. And this is a sign that what? That tawakkul ala Allah is actually a fard. It is a wajib. It's something that Allah has made obligatory upon us. After this, he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, 8th Surah, 64th Ayat. Ya ayyuha an-nabi, hasbuka Allah wa man ittaba'aka min al-mu'minin. O Prophet, sufficient is Allah for you and for those who follow you from amongst the believers, from amongst the people of Iman. Yani, Allah is sufficient for you, and Allah is sufficient for those who follow you from amongst those who believe. The Shaykh doesn't comment on this ayat here, but in another place, yani, in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, he said concerning this ayat, Ya ayyuhan nabi, hasbuka Allah, O Prophet, sufficient is Allah for you. He said, Ya ayyuhan nabi, hadha khitab lil-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, this is speech that's directed directly, yani, that is addressed directly to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاللَّهُ جَلَّ وَعَلَىٰ إِذَا نَادَاهُ لَا يَقُلْ لَهُ يَا مُحَمِّدٍ. When Allah addressed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He never says to him, Ya Muhammad. كَمَا يَقُولُ لِلْأَنْبِيَاء. As He said to the other Prophets, Ya Musa, Ya Nuh. But the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He never addressed him like this. وَإِنَّمَا خَصَّ مُحَمِّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِأَنَّهُ لَا يُنَادِهِ بِإِسْمِهِ. So this is something special and particular for the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, that Allah never addressed him directly by his name. وَإِنَّمَا يَقُولْ يَا يُهَا النَّبِيِّ يَا يُهَا الرَّسُولِ. But rather Allah says, O Prophet, O Messenger, yani, with these titles of honor and respect. وَلَا يَقُولْ يَا مُحَمِّدٍ. He doesn't say, O Muhammad, addressing him directly. وَإِنَّمَا يَأْتِي إِسْمُ مُحَمَّدْ فِي بَابِ الْإِخْبَارِ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani, the like where he says, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدِكُمْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رِجَالِكُمْ. Yani, that the only time the name Muhammad is mentioned like this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us information about him, as in the ayat that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is not the father of any of your men. But as far as, yani, addressing him directly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always addressed him with titles of honor. وَهَذَا تَشْرِيفٌ لِلْرَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And this is a means of honoring the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم above the other prophets and messengers, who are also honored, but yani this is a special honor that's given to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this ayat, again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ya ayyuhan nabi, Allah is sufficient for you, and He is sufficient for those who follow you from amongst the people of Iman. After that, he mentioned from Surah At-Talaq, 65th Surah, 2nd and 3rd ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَصْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the meaning of which is, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, yani by fulfilling His commands and avoiding His prohibitions, whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make a way out for him from whatever difficulty, situation or circumstance that person is in. And Allah will provide for him, yani will give him provisions, min haythu la yahtasib, from where he didn't imagine or expect it to come from. And then he says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, depends upon Allah, relies upon Allah, Allah will be sufficient for him. Indeed, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ عَمْرِهِ, Allah will accomplish His purpose. Some of the scholars of tafsir said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ عَمْرِهِ, yani بَالِغُ مُرَادِهِ قَضَائِهِ وَقَدْرِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about that which He intended, that which He yani decreed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that happen. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا, Allah has set a measure for everything, yani a time for it to occur, and the amount in which it will occur, and it will not be go beyond that or less than that. Some of the scholars of tafsir said here, I think Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di mentioned this particular point, that in this ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ عَمْرِهِ, that whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah will be sufficient for him. And then he mentions after that, that indeed Allah will accomplish His purpose, that which He intended will occur. And the meaning here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has power over everything, who is the Lord of all the worlds, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the supreme being, who does whatever He wills, that if you put your trust in Him, He will be sufficient for you. But it may be in the wisdom of Allah, the perfect hikmah of Allah, that He might not decree that that thing is going to happen now. Not because He's not able to do it, but He has decreed other based upon wisdom. Therefore, Allah mentions after saying Allah is sufficient, He's able to do whatever it is that He wants to do. Yet it may be that He may yani have decreed something not to happen now, but to happen later. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said, when you call upon Allah, He will answer in one of three ways. Either He will give you now what you are asking for, or He will turn away from you some harm that was decreed for you equal to what you are asking for, or He will store it up for you yani in the next life. So Allah will definitely answer, but He will answer in the way that is based upon His perfect wisdom. So here, the Shaykh, he says, in this ayah, or in these ayat, from Surah At-Talaq, 65th Surah, 2nd and 3rd ayah, فَقَرَنَا التَّوَكُّلْ بِالتَّقْوَى, that in these ayahs, Allah has joined together, combined these two principles, the principle of yani التَّوَكُّلْ, relying upon Allah, and the principle of التَّقْوَى, observing yani taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the Shaykh mentions from yani from the same surah, Surah At-Talaq, 65th surah, yani the 4th and 5th ayat, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ يُسْرًا, that whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will make his affair easy for him. Yani whoever is in difficulty, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you observe taqwa, Allah will make your affair easy for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla, wa anta taj'alu al-hazna idha shitta sahla, that there's nothing easy except what you have made easy. And that which is difficult, if you will, if Allah wills, He can make it easy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, if you observe taqwa of Allah, He will make your affair easy for you. Yani a person is in difficulty, you want ease, observe taqwa of Allah. ذَلِكَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ أَنْزَلَهُ إِلَيْكُمْ, this is the command of Allah which He has revealed to you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يُكَفِّرْ عَنْهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ, and whoever observes taqwa of Allah, Allah will expiate for him his sins. وَيُعْذِمْ لَهُ أَجْرًا, and he will magnify for him his reward. And in these ayats you see the greatness of at-taqwa, the importance of at-taqwa and the benefits of at-taqwa. And then the shaykh says, yani, from Surah Hud, 11th Surah, 123rd ayah, كَمَا قَرَنَا التَّوَكُّلْ بِالْعِبَادَةِ, and also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has joined or combined, yani, in the following ayat, between التَّوَكُّلْ and الْعِبَادَةِ, the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, فَعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, so worship Him and trust in Him, put your dependence upon Him, your reliance upon Him. Then the shaykh, he says, yani, in summary of this particular point, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, yani, those who believe with tawakkul. And He has praised the people of tawakkul. And He has informed us that He loves the people who rely upon Him in many ayat in the Quran. And from this is the indication, يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَحَمِّيَةِ التَّوَكُّلِ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. In this, that Allah has ordered us with tawakkul, and He has praised the people who, yani, put their trust in Him, and He has informed us that He loves the people of, yani, of at-tawakkul, then this is an indication of the importance of this action, this worship of the heart, this ibadah qalbiya, this action of the heart, at-tawakkul. It shows its importance and its greatness and its magnificence. After this, the shaykh, yani, second point that I'm going to number it as the second point, because he takes it now to, yani, what I just alluded to. He says, وَالتَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ أَعْمَالِ الْقُلُوبِ, yani, that relying upon Allah is from the actions of the heart. فَهُوَ عِبَادَ قَلْبِيَّ, it is an action of worship of the heart. And we know from what we have studied previously from Shahadatul Iman that, yani, every action of obedience to Allah, everything that's pleasing to Allah is an act of worship. But the acts of worship are not only prayer and fasting and charity and pilgrimage and hajj, yani, the actions of the limbs of the body that are seen outwardly, but also the actions of the heart that are not seen outwardly. That they are actions of the heart and they are also actions of the limbs. And the greater actions, the greater acts of worship, are the worship, the actions of the heart are the greater acts of worship. And from amongst the greatest of the actions of the heart is a tawakkul. The shaykh says here that tawakkul, yani, upon Allah is from the actions of the heart. It is an act of worship of the heart. فَالتَّوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَا يَكُونُ بِالْجَوَارِ وَالْأَعْضَاءِ وَإِنَّمَا يَكُونُ فِي الْقَلْبِ مثل الخوف والخشية والرغبة والرحبة والتقوى كلها أعمال قلبية. Yani, so that this tawakkul, it is not from the actions of the limbs or the organs of the body. Rather, it is from the heart. Like, yani, al-khawf wal-khashya. Yani, fear. And maybe, I don't know the difference, how we would translate into khawf and khashya. But, yani, khawf is normally translated as fear. And khashya is a type of fear that's based upon knowledge and love. Yani, being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps. وَرَغْبَ, yani, وَرَحْبَ, hope and fear, yani, desiring the good from Allah and fearing His punishment. وَالتَّقْوَ, yani, all of these are actions of the heart. These are all actions of the heart. The next point that the shaykh makes is the position or the station or the high status of a tawakkul. He said, مَنْزِلَةُ التَّوَكُّلْ كَمَا قَالَ بَعْدُ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ التوكل من الدين بمنزلة الرأس من الجسد. Yani, that the high station or status of tawakkul is, as some of the people of knowledge have said, that the relationship of at-tawakkul to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the relationship of the head to the body. The relationship of at-tawakkul to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same as the relationship of the head to a body, to the body. فَالَّذِي لَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ تَوَكُّلْ لَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ دِينٍ. Whoever doesn't have tawakkul, he doesn't have deen. كَالْجَسَدْ أَلَّذِي لَيْسَ لَهُ رَأْسِ. Just like a body that doesn't have a head. Yani, what is the value of a body that doesn't have a head? What is the value of a person's deen if they don't have a tawakkul. ومعلوم أن الجسد إذا فقد الرأس فقد الحياة. It is known that the body, if it loses its head, it loses life. فكذلك الدين إذا فقد التوكل فقد الصحة فلا يكون دينا صحيحا. So in the same way, the deen, if it doesn't have tawakkul in it, then it doesn't have any validity. It is not a valid deen. And here, I want to mention a beautiful statement that was given to me a few days ago. Tremendous statement. The statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. Yani in reference to this statement of the Shaykh, the importance of tawakkul, that tawakkul is like the head to the body. Yani, if the body loses its head, it loses life. And the deen, if it loses tawakkul, if it doesn't include tawakkul, it's not valid. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, Al-Qadr nizam al-tawheed. That Al-Qadr, iman bil-Qadr, it is the thing that keeps together the tawheed. Like the string that hold together the beads on a string. The string of tawheed is al-qadr. This is what keeps the tawheed intact. فَمَنْ وَحَدَ اللَّهِ وَكَذَّبَ بِالْقَدْرِ فَقَدْ نَقَدَ تَكْذِيبُهُ تَوْحِيدَهُ. So whoever establishes tawheed of Allah but denies the qadr, then that person's denial of qadr has invalidated his tawheed. One of my shaykhs, may Allah have mercy upon him, that I have fond memories of, spending time with him in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and in his home. And he was always very welcoming to us, and kind to us, and charitable to us. And we benefited from his knowledge extremely. Shaykh Muhammad Aman al-Jami, rahimahullah, he said, concerning this statement of Ibn Abbas, Al-Iman bil-Qadri nizam al-Tawheed. That having faith in Qadr is the nizam of tawheed. It's the string that ties it, keeps it together. لَا يَنْتَظِمُ تَوْحِيدُكَ وَيَسْلَمْ إِلَّا بِالْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَضَاءِ وَالْقَدْرِ. That a person's iman will not be in order. It will not be organized. It will not be safe. Unless that person, except by having iman in the qada of Allah and the qadr. Yani, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed things and executed his decree, brought it into being. أَمَّا إِذَا كُنْتَ تُخَاسِمُ اللَّهِ فِي قَضَائِهِ وَقَدْرِهِ. But if you were to be in a disputant, yani disputing with Allah concerning his qada and his qadr, like for example a person who says, لِمَاذَا فَعَلَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, لِمَاذَا قَدَّرَ كَذَا وَكَذَا, لِمَاذَا أَغْنَى وَلِمَاذَا أَفْقَرَ, لِمَاذَا أَحْيَى وَلِمَاذَا أَمَاتَ, إِلَى غَيْرُ ذَلِكَ. Yani the person who wants to dispute with Allah concerning what he has decreed and the execution of his decree, saying why did he do such and such and so and so, and why did he decree such and so and so to happen, and why did he make someone rich, and why did he make someone poor, and why did he give life to this one, and why did he cause the death of this one to other than that. Yani the person who doesn't surrender to the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يستقيم توحيدك أبدا. Then that person's tawheed would never be correct. It would never be sound. It would never be proper. إذن لابد من الجمع بين الإيمان بالشرع والإيمان بالقدر. Therefore, it is of necessity that we combine between having iman in the shara, in the laws of Allah that He legislated, and iman in the qadr that Allah has decreed. Yani that a person believe in what Allah has legislated, His laws, the things that He has commanded and prohibited and so on, and must also believe equally, likewise, in the qadr of Allah, that whatever He has decreed is what it is, it will be, and there's no other way that it can occur. So he said, we have previously mentioned, يكفي للإيمان بالقدر شيء يسير. That what is sufficient for a person to have iman in the qadr is just something small. وَهُوَ أَنْ يَعْلَمْ الجميع المتعلم وغير المتعلم أن يعلم المرء أن ما أصابه لا يخطئه وما أخطأه لا يصيبه. يعني it is sufficient that everyone knows, the learned and the unlearned, the educated and the uneducated. Everyone must at least know that whatever has befallen you could not have passed you by. Yani, don't cry over it. It couldn't have passed you by. Don't think that if I hadn't gone out today, if I hadn't done this, if I hadn't been here. No, whatever has befallen you, it could not have passed you by. Yani, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَعَ فَعَلَ. That's what the believer says when an affliction befalls them. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ. It is Allah has decreed it. وَمَا شَعَ فَعَلَ. And He does whatever He wills. وَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Yani, we belong to Allah. Meaning that He can do with us whatever He wills. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And certainly we are going to return to Him. So that if a person accepts what Allah has decreed, whatever it is, knowing that they're going to return to Allah and be rewarded by Allah, if they are patient with Allah's decree, that's sufficient for the believer. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. What is sufficient, suffices a person in Iman and Qadr, is that they know that whatever has befallen them could not have passed them by, and whatever has passed them by could not have afflicted them. وَأَنَّهُ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ. And whatever Allah wills, it was, it occurred. And whatever Allah didn't will never occur. This is sufficient for a person's Iman in Qadr. After this, I want to go back to the author's statement. I don't know how the time looks right now. Close, yes. MashaAllah. Okay. So, yani, this is the last point that the Shaykh makes in his introductory statements. We're going to close with this. فَتَوَقُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ لَهُ مَقَامٌ عَظِيمٌ مِنْ مَقَامَاتِ الْعُبُودِيَّ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That التَوَقُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, putting one's trust in Allah, relying upon Allah, depending upon Allah, having confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being pleased with what He has decreed, asking His help in whatever we try to do of good or to prevent harm. It has a very high station, a magnificent status and station, this tawakkul, from amongst the stations of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From amongst the maqamat al-ubudiyyah for Allah, yani, at-tawakkul has a very magnificent, yani, tremendous station. مَيَّزَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ غَيْرِهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distinguished His believing worshippers from others by at-tawakkul ala Allah. By at-tawakkul. Yani, this distinguishes the believers from others. And then the Shaykh says, yani, dividing the people into three categories. He says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَصْلًا فَإِنَّهُ يَكُونُ كَافِرًا. Yani, whoever didn't have tawakkul on Allah, aslan, yani, meaning they had no tawakkul on Allah. Yani, they didn't have any tawakkul at all, not even a little. مَنْ لَمْ يَتَوَكُّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ أَصْلًا, then this person is a kafir. وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَعَلَى غَيْرِهِ يَكُونُ مُشْرِكًا. And whoever puts their trust in Allah and also put their trust in other than Allah, this person is a mushrik. And the third category, وَمَنْ تَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ فَإِنَّهُ الْمُوَحِّدُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الَّذِي يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَى عَمَلَهُ وَقَوْلَهُ لِأَنَّهُ بَنَاهُ عَلَى أَسَاسٍ صَحِيحٍ. Yani, in the third category is the one who put their trust in Allah alone. Then this person is a muwahid, yani, of the people of Tawheed. The believers, the believer who has tawheed, the one who Allah loves him, and who Allah is pleased with his action and his speech. Yani, Allah loves him, and Allah is pleased with his actions and his speech, and that is because his actions and his speech are based upon a correct foundation. The Shaykh, he then says, يعني, closing this introduction, إذن ما معنى التوكل الذي هذا أهميته وهذه مكانته في الدين. So what is the meaning of التوكل? يعني, this thing that has this great importance and this great station or status in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's one more point, but perhaps, and rather than to rush to it, maybe we can stop here in case anybody has any questions about what we covered. Any questions about what we covered? Anything that's not clear?
In the hadith of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, where he said, Prophet of Allah would say, Romani a'udhu bi kalashrika bika, wa na'alam asafruq lima la'a'alam. The khalad, or the thoughts that sometimes a person might have in his tawakkuf, because it's been described by Shaykh Saleh, Habibullah Allah is, any shirk, any putting trust in Allah and other things, might that be from what we're personally speaking refuge from?
Certainly could be. Allahu alam. I mean, I'm not going to say definitively, but naam. He's saying the hadith, the supplication, or the hadith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught to him. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika shay'an wa astaghfiruka lima la alam. Yani that I seek refuge in you from committing any shirk knowingly, and I ask forgiveness for that which I did unknowingly. And I think the question is, the thing that the person did unknowingly, perhaps that is, yani asking Allah's forgiveness for our shortcomings in anything that we did that belongs to Allah, but specifically here, you're addressing it to a tawakkul. Then indeed, yani it should be from amongst those things that the believer, the human being, may fall short in. And the Shaykh here has described, and the person that puts their trust in Allah and in other than Allah, this is shirk. This is shirk. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has given us means to rectify and to correct and to yani overcome yani the errors and the mistakes and the shortcomings of the believers. And from amongst them is this type of supplication, where a person is seeking refuge in Allah from committing shirk knowingly, consciously, and asking Allah's forgiveness for what a person did, yani unknowingly. Because it's possible that there's shirk, there are types of shirk that a person doesn't realize that it's shirk. That a person is not conscious that it's shirk. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness for such. Any question about what we said that's not clear? Okay, we'll stop here. Next week, we're going to talk about the definition of at-tawakkul, yani from what the Shaykh said. And we're going to also, and he probably bring some other points from other sources from amongst them. If a person would like to go back and read a tremendous explanation of tawakkul by Shaykh al-Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi in his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed. In his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, it's the 33rd chapter. I looked it up in English. It's in page 30, chapter 33, page 173. If anybody has his any explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, al-Imam al-Sa'adi, he has a tremendous, very, very concise. Rather, if anybody reads his explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed, you will find that all of his explanations of all the chapters of Kitab al-Tawheed are extremely concise and extremely beneficial. Really beneficial. In that chapter, the chapter entitled The Saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, the ayat that we started with today, that is the first ayat that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab mentions in this chapter, dealing with at-tawakkul. And the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'adi's explanation, inshallah, next week, we're going to go through it, look at what he said, in addition to what Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, mentioned concerning the definition of tawakkul. And I would also suggest that we look at other sources that we might have access to read about this topic of at-tawakkul. This particular risala is a very brief risala dealing with tawakkul, and it is an extensive topic. And perhaps the reason why we have chosen it, I'm pretty sure, is because we just got finished going 9 months in Shajarat al-Iman. Out of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I wanted to have some mercy and do something short. And then inshallah, after that, we're going to go to something long. Bi-ithni Allahi ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.